So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text number 41. It's called Contents of the Gita Summarized. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi, ekeha kurunandana, bahushaka inantascha, buddhiyo vyavasayinam, Vyavasayatmaka, resolute in Krishna consciousness. Buddhi, intelligence. Eka, only one. Eha, in this world. Kurunandana, O beloved child of the Kurus. Bahushaka, having various branches. He, indeed. Ananta, unlimited. Cha, also. Buddhaya, intelligence. Avasayani, avyasvasayinam. Of those who are not in Krishna consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 22 text 62 states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakahe Sudrida Nischai Krishne Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritahai. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with the obligations of family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane. They are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Saramahatma Sudurlava. Person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva, Krishna, is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one renders the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna and who knows the nature of the student who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. And one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadan nagati kutopi dhyayam stuvam tasya yashastri sandhyam Vande Guru Sri Charanam. At least some people attend Mangalarti here. Or you remember that from a previous association. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day. And offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. So again, the text: Vyavasayatmaka buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahu shaka inantascha buddhiyo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Here it mentions that there are different kinds of intelligence. There's intelligence in Krishna consciousness, and that intelligence has 2 aspects. One is the beginning aspect, that we're not this body. And that Krishna explains immediately. When he says everyone's body, everyone here has a material body, and every material body is changing. That we all have experience of. But we also have experience that although we've had many different bodies, still we're the same person. Otherwise, how could we remember having a small body, a teenage body, and whatever body we have now? How can we remember having all those bodies if we were a different person? So we were the same person, but in a different body. So the conclusion is, only the body's changing, but we're not changing. Now, unfortunately, our intelligence is always changing. So sometimes we hear Bhagavad Gita that we're not changing. We say, oh, that's right, I'm eternal. That's nice. Anything else? And then the next moment we forget it. I become a body again. Yes, I was a spirit soul for around 15 minutes during the class, and I walked out and I became a body again. Of course, maybe not the body, I became a mind. I gave up my bodily concept of life and I entered just into the mental conception of life. On my feelings. And actually, our main feeling is that we're in love. Unfortunately, we're in love with our body. As I said in class a couple of times, we wake up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And of course, as we all know, the mirror gives the same answer to everyone. That my dear fortunate soul, after so many lifetimes of pious activity, now you have direct darshan of the supreme deity in the mirror. So please, make a vow. Resolute determination is explained here to render unalloyed, uninterrupted service to that deity that you fell in love with in the mirror. And of course, we all become enamored. We look at it. Wow, what a wonderful sight. If only my mother could see this. And then if we're a little pious, then we immediately do abhishek to the deity. And we take a shower. Then we clothe the deity, we decorate the deity, we put perfume or cologne on the deity, and then we offer the deity 5 kinds of foodstuffs. And after making all the preparations, we go out into the world to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. Collect some disciples and admirers. Devotees, actually. So this is called, this is a kind of intelligence. Our intelligence is actually, because we're by nature worshippers, our intelligence will give us the intelligence, well, will tell us or direct us to worship something. In the material world, everyone worships their gross or subtle bodies and things in relationship to their gross and subtle bodies. Their families become special. Why is their family? Because we've taken birth in that family, and therefore they all become purified. As soon as we took birth, our father and mother became something special in this world. Kind of like the parents of Krishna. They're special because Krishna took birth in their family, and our parents became special because we took birth there too. My mother looks a little bit like Mother Jasoda, and my father looks a little bit like Nanda Maharaj. And of course, I'm the representative of Krishna. And then, of course, our country, because I've taken birth in the country, therefore it's special in some way. America is special because it's a big tiger, and Slovenia is special because it's a nice kitten. So, somehow or another, everyone finds something special about where they've taken birth. The land is special. And we're in love with these things. But, unfortunately, how much we love our bodies and things in relation to the body, it doesn't really satisfy us, nor does it unite anyone. Even nowadays, people can't even stay in the same families together. Because everyone has become so much absorbed in simply their bodies, worshiping their bodies, they can't even consider that anyone else has any value. You walk down the street, everyone has their camera up against themselves. Everyone is taking a selfie. They have their sticks and everyone, snap, snap, snap. Even you see people, if you go in Harinam, even on the Harinam, people are, you know, right next to the Harinam taking pictures of themselves. Here I am performing kirtan for myself. But actually that desire to worship something is originally supposed to be directed towards Krishna, because Krishna is a source of pleasure. And the example here is used, Yata turamula nishechinena tripdyanti tatskanda bujo prashaka pranaharachcha itendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atateja. Just like if you water the root of a tree, then the water goes to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, all the different parts of the body is served. Or by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, that everyone, including the demigods, are satisfied. So our philosophy is not meant to glorify any particular person in this world. It's meant to ultimately point out that there is a Supreme Person who is the source of supreme happiness. And that if any one of us, or if all of us, come in contact with Krishna, then we'll actually find the deity that we're trying to worship, or that we should be worshiping, that will actually completely satisfy us and be beneficial to everyone else. All we may imagine that all my service to my particular ego in relation to this body is going to be beneficial for myself and everyone else, but at the time of leaving this body, we don't get any special credit for how much we worship the body. On the other hand, we might get some credit if we did something pious, and we might get a little problems, reactions for doing things impiously. But even any reaction, good or bad, simply means we get another kind of body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life, so we could try again to become the Supreme. Unfortunately, we haven't made any progress in that since time immemorial. Although we've tried very sincerely, everyone here is very sincere trying to become the Supreme, but everyone has wound up in the same place, last place. But we can keep on trying. Krishna is very kind. He's created in the material world. We can stay here forever trying to become the Supreme and always get the same result. Zero. Home team, zero. Out of team, zero. So we all wind up in a tie. Zero. But if we become Krishna conscious and actually become ecstatic and fall in love with Krishna, then automatically we fall in love with everyone else also. And everything and everyone we can actually learn how to properly relate to in an attitude that will give us pleasure and give everyone else happiness and enlightenment also. So therefore it says, Vyavasayatmako Buddhi. As long as we're in the material concept of life, trying to satisfy the demands of our mind and senses, then we're wasting our time. Trying to become somehow or another something special or something, or get some happiness out of this material existence. But if we recognize Krishna as the center of everyone's existence, Prabhupada gives the example, if you throw a rock into a lake, then there are circles that are made. But if you keep on throwing different rocks into the lake, then all of the circles will be made, but they'll clash with each other. But if you throw the rock in the same place, then naturally all these circles will be concentric, and there'll be no clashing. So if we first of all agree that Krishna is the center of our existence, he's the center of everyone's existence, then that's the basis of everyone working together. It still takes intelligence and organization to work together, but at least we know what our goal should be. The next thing is, where do I fit in to service to Krishna, and what is Krishna trying to accomplish in this world? Well, luckily, Krishna only has one thing he's trying to accomplish, so it makes things simple. He's just trying to wake up all the conditioned souls, which luckily includes each one of us, so that we become Krishna conscious. It's quite simple. He's not trying to create a big empire. He's not trying to make a lot of money. He's not trying to become even famous in this world. He doesn't really care about those things. The only thing he cares about is that someone, and if not everyone, or as many as possible, revive their relationship with him. Because that's the only progress in this world. Everything else is just the interchanging of the modes of nature, which to our vision means the interchanging of the gross and subtle elements, like earth and fire and water and air. Sometimes they appear as Brahma, sometimes they appear as a demigod, sometimes as a resident of Ljubljana, sometimes as a mouse in the house. But there are simply different earth, water, fire, air, and ether combined with the subtle elements of mind, intelligence, and false ego to appear to be something different in the material world, something worshipable. Oh, this is something worshipable. This is some manifestation of these elements that I should actually honor, respect, love, and worship, and serve. But there's no real progress. There's just changing of the appearances of the external energy. But if one is able to utilize the same energy, at least desire to utilize the same energy in Krishna's service, recognize that Krishna does exist and that Krishna is not only the Supreme Person, the source of everything, but he's practically the owner of everything. And that if we agree to utilize our energies in his service, namely just to help each other and help others understand their relation with Krishna, especially in this age, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That, factually speaking, our different levels of spiritual advancement will be determined by how seriously we take this chanting and how much we offer it to others, become an instrument for Krishna to offer this chanting to others. We don't have to know the whole Bhagavad Gita. We don't have to know every single scripture. We just have to know enough to accept that actually I am Krishna Das, and whatever energies and talents I have, I should utilize in Krishna service or Krishna dasi. Then if we have that much intelligence, buddhi, and everyone's working together, then it can actually be something significant. In the material world, people work together, but only so far as it suits their sense gratification. In a family, people work together, and as long as their senses are being satisfied. And as soon as their senses stop being satisfied, then they may even become enemies of each other. Similarly, in communities or nations, people cooperate as long as there is some kind of equal benefit for sense gratification. But that doesn't always last. Therefore, sometimes governments create wars for no reason, just to unite people. People are united, but they're united against the politicians. And so in order to divert their attention from being united against them, they divert their attention to being united against someone else. So that kind of unity doesn't last very long. Because as soon as the so-called problem is solved, then again, they look around and everyone else becomes the problem. Therefore, if we want real unity, it has to be based upon what's actually everyone's real self-interest, which is ultimately not their gross and subtle bodies, but is ultimately their relation with Krishna. Everyone has an eternal relation with Krishna. We already have a relationship with Krishna. He's in our heart. He's the one who's giving us intelligence, either to make spiritual progress or to stay in the material world and try to somehow or another make a happy arrangement here for ourselves or even for others. In any case, if we want a relationship with Krishna, even in this lifetime, even at this moment, we simply have to understand what Krishna's desires are and take the intelligence that he's giving us to fulfill his desires. And that will automatically include our real desires. It's not that if I give up service to this body, then I stop, I can't eat anymore, I can't sleep, I can't have a family, no, one can do the same things, but one does those same things for Krishna. And if everyone does whatever they're doing for Krishna in a harmonious way, then the result is that the Krishna consciousness movement will become very powerful. If everyone can see that it's possible to work beyond selfish material desires for a transcendental goal which is equally benefit for every living entity in the universe, then many, many sincere people who are looking for safety and security and a higher purpose in life will actually take shelter of the Hare Krishna movement. But if the Hare Krishna movement remains theoretical and everyone acknowledges, yes, I'm not this body, Krishna is God, and goes on working for their selfish desires, or even working for a smaller community of selfish desires, then the result is that the Hare Krishna movement doesn't really become as strong or powerful enough to actually manifest Krishna in this world in such a way as that people understand that this movement is actually the manifestation of Krishna's desire to spread Krishna consciousness. So, here it mentions that if everyone becomes resolute in purpose to simply serve Krishna and ascertain by humble inquiry from the right source with the right attitude, what does Krishna want me to do in this world and how should I do it? If we take that humble attitude, then gradually, didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to work unitedly so that the spiritual revolution that Prabhupada envisioned, a spiritual revolution where by art and music and philosophy, especially the philosophy that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and manifesting that philosophy through art, music, through theater, through any and every means, to just convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we're all his eternal servants. If people are just convinced like that, then it's possible to unite not only the members of the Hare Krishna movement, if we become simple like that. But also all the other Vaishnava organizations, all the other religious organizations who believe in God, because we actually know who God is, which is quite an advantage. As I said in a lecture the other day, Srila Prabhupada was at a interview in Australia. And in that interview in Australia, there was one interviewer who was noted to generally try to criticize and embarrass the person who was interviewing by being very sarcastic and try to demean the people who he's interviewing. So Prabhupada walks into the interview on national television in Australia, and the interviewer, he was thinking, well, this is going to be an easy one. Prabhupada is small, Indian, older gentleman, and he's carrying a picture of Gopal Krishna. And he puts it on the seat, because it was a seat for two people, and the interviewer lights up thinking, wow, I'm going to eat this old man for breakfast. So immediately he attacks Srila Prabhupada and says, Swamiji, why are you worshipping this Hindu god? So Prabhupada asks the interviewer, he said, sir, you're a Christian, I suppose. Now, please tell me, I would like to hear from you, what you know about God, everything you know about God. Let me know, let me hear. So the interviewer thought, and eventually he said, well, actually, I don't know anything about God. So Prabhupada said, actually, we know everything about God. You yourself know nothing, but we know everything. So you should listen to me, because we can tell you everything about God. So the interviewer had never had the tables turned on him like that. So he became actually embarrassed himself. Similarly, we know everything about God. We don't have his email address yet. But we're sure he has one. But he only gives it out to his personal associates. Still, we can contact him. And by this Hare Krishna movement is the process of contacting him. And we can teach everyone how to contact him and go back to live with him eternally, if that's what we want. So this movement is only aimed at that, not for our own personal glorification, so that when we leave, our samadhi is 2 inches higher than everyone else's. That's not the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. It's to convince people while we're still here that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that it is our benefit and everyone's benefit to utilize whatever talents and energies we have to please him and to glorify him. And it's up to those who have intelligence to try to inspire and organize everyone else how they can do it most effectively, so we do it in harmony with each other and most effectively. If you have light, it lightens. But if you have light that's focused, then it can burn, like in the form of a laser, then it can burn through steel. So everyone focuses their energy in a harmonious way to serve Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then this mission will become very successful, and it will be able to spread all over at least this world, if not the universe. So, I thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you. I have 2 questions. The first is it in the spiritual life appropriate any hidden motivation for servicing others? Hidden motivation, like extra motivation. Is it acceptable?
To serve others? The only way we can serve others is to know who they are.
They are souls who are part of parcel of Krishna.
Yes, so therefore we know how to serve others. And we do that in the Hare Krishna movement. We give people prasadam. Mm-hmm. We tell them it's prasadam. We give them books about Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. We give them Krishna. Because that's, if you have a spark and it's outside the fire, then you can offer it so many things. But the best thing to do is offer it the fire. It's only going to be comfortable back in the fire. You offer a nice swimming pool and, you know, another little spark of fire to play around with. It's not going to make the spark happy, as happy as if you tell them how to enter back into the fire.
Okay. And the second question is, when we are tolerating and forgiving injustice and this that happened to us, what should be our real motivation to do, to forgive and to tolerate injustices from others? That,
well, we don't just tolerate injustice for others. What we do is we try to serve Krishna. Uh-huh. And by serving Krishna, tolerance may be included in that. Because Krishna may not want us to waste our time getting even with others, because it has no meaning. He may want us to go on with service to him, which may mean different things. So our first business is to do what Krishna wants us to do, and that may include tolerance. But obviously in the case of Arjuna, Krishna did not inspire Arjuna to be tolerant. He inspired Arjuna to kill all his relatives.
Okay.
So tolerance is not always the first priority. Service to Krishna is the first priority.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. My daughter was asking, she was very interested about the short story, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Lord Jagannath. Maybe could you mention some short story? Is it possible?
How Lord Chaitanya came to Lord Jagannath?
Yes.
Well, I can't remember. Let's see, the first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri,
yes,
he was, I believe he had just taken sannyas, and he was on his way to see Lord Jagannath, and on the way, Lord Nityananda, he was in ecstasy, so he gave his danda to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda broke the danda in three parts and threw it into the river. And then when Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness, he asked where his danda was. And Lord Nityananda said, actually, I fell on it. We both fell on it when you went into ecstasy. We broke it, so I threw it into the river. So Lord Chaitanya was quite disappointed. And he said, well, all right, since you committed this offense, therefore, I'm going to go to Jagannath Puri by myself. They said, no, it's all right. You go first, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we'll follow you. So when Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, immediately he fainted in ecstasy. He went unconscious. And then the guards, they thought maybe he's just a pretender, so they went to beat him. So be careful about falling into ecstasy when you may wake up in the hospital. In any case, luckily Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and he was a learned scholar, so he understood the symptoms of Mahabhava. So he took a little feather, tiny feather, and put it next to Mahaprabhu's nostrils, and saw that it was just barely moving. So he understood that this is a devotee in Mahabhava ecstasy. So he took him to his house. The amazing thing about that is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist. So although he knew everything about Mahabhava, but I think he thought it was a stage of Brahman realization or something. In any case, at that time he was trying to examine the symptoms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gopinath Acharya was there trying to convince Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that this devotee is not an ordinary person, he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time, Lord Nityananda, along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other associates, came to Jagannath Puri looking for Lord Chaitanya. And then they heard he was at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's place, and they came there and they chanted Hare Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of his trance of ecstasy. And that's the beginning of his stay at Jagannath Puri. Nice beginning, if we can go to Jagannath Puri and have such a nice beginning You know, you, first day you're in ecstasy, in Mahabhava ecstasy, and then the devotees come and chant, and you wake up and eat some Mahaprasadam. Very nice way of entering into Jagannath Puri. You have to be a little qualified to do that, though. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.